morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David. And yesterday we looked at a verse in Deuteronomy 14:25 that says, "Bind up the money in thine hand." And we saw how A.J. Jacobs, the author of The Year of Living Biblically, said, you know what? I want to see what it's like to actually live biblically, to actually follow the Bible literally. So I'm going to bind money to my hand. Well, the problem is the verse doesn't even actually say that. The verse just says, bind the money in your hand. And other translations, if you carefully study the Hebrew, pick up on this. It's talking about binding money and then carrying it with you in your hand, all bound up, so you can present it to God as an offering. It was in a very particular circumstance. It's when you can't carry your animal with you to the temple for sacrifice. There's no temple right now. There's no sacrifice occurring. There's no reason why you would ever tie money to your hand or even tie money up and carry it in your hand in order to follow this command. That's just simply not what the Bible's teaching. But he says he's going to do this to follow the Bible literally. I would argue that's actually not following the Bible literally. That's kind of making up something that sounds kind of like what the Bible's talking about, but isn't what the Bible's actually saying. And I see many examples of this. The same thing's true in the television show Living Biblically. The different things they'll portray go along this route. I believe we should live biblically. I just believe we should actually follow the Bible, not make up rules and say that we're trying to live biblically. So let me give you another example. And again, I like the book. The TV show's okay, I guess. I think the book was funnier, actually. But I think this is a reflection of a misunderstanding of what the Bible's about. And the whole purpose of this program is to help you see how following the Bible is so important and so helpful. And so that's why I'm addressing this week. By the way, if you want more information on this or jump in the conversation about this, I invite you to our Facebook page, Trust the Bible. That's a group on Facebook, and other listeners are on there, and you can ask questions, get more information, comment on other things. That's the Facebook page, Trust the Bible. Well, another example is in A.J. Jacobs' book. He's the one trying to live biblically. He says, there's another type of binding I've been doing every day. This one comes from Deuteronomy 6:8. It tells you to bind the commandments to your hands and between your eyes. Since I began my year, I've been using this homespun method. I take two Xerox copies of the Ten Commandments and fold each to the size of a Polaroid photo. Every morning, I tie one around my waist with a white string, the other around my head. It's been startlingly effective. Just try forgetting about the Word of God when it's right in front of your eyeballs, obscuring a chunk of your view. Sometimes I imagine the commandments sinking through my skin and going straight to my brain. Okay, so again, a very literal interpretation of a Bible passage that I don't think is actually teaching you to do that. The passage is Deuteronomy 6:4, one of the most important passages in all of the Bible. And here's what it says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. All right, so first of all, bind them on your foreheads does not necessarily mean obstruct your field of view with this writing of the commandments that's on your forehead. You could put it on your forehead and in a way that isn't right literally in front of your eyes. But the point here is when you look at the context, this isn't meant to be taken literally. I'll tell you that just from verse 6. It says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. That's the header for this section. And I don't think anybody would think that we are actually to take the commandments, write them down, and surgically put them in our chest so that they're on our heart. That's, of course, absurd. That's not what God is talking about. That's not what he means by heart. He's saying that we need to meditate on them day and night, that we need to keep them on our lips always, as Joshua 1:8 says, that we need to be thinking about them, that they need to be in our deepest part of our being, in our thoughts, in our mind. We're paying attention to them. That's the idea of having the commandments upon your hearts. It's not just something you read once in a while or hear a reading of in church and then you check out and don't think about it the rest of the week. It is a calling to carefully do everything written in the Bible. and not necessarily literally, like putting the written commands on your physical organ that pumps blood, your heart. No, it means actually do what the Bible's teaching. So I do believe that this verse is saying that we should talk to our children about these things constantly. Maybe not necessarily the first thing when you wake up. It doesn't mean you have to wake up your child just because you woke up and start telling them about the Bible when they're still supposed to be sleeping. The idea here of impress them upon your children, talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up, is have a lot of different times when you talk to your children about this. When you teach your children what God's word is. It should not just be something that comes up every couple of weeks or when your child asks you a question about something they didn't understand at vacation Bible school, you know, once a year. It should be, I have a goal to teach my children day by day the commands of God, the teachings of God, who God is. And so then when the verse gets to tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads, this is a picture of, and Jesus does this all the time, we talked about this yesterday, this is a picture of really almost being obsessed with it, where you have to have it with you all the time, where it's tied to your hands. I'm thinking of the movie Elf, where Elf, you know, is eating a bowl of spaghetti and says, you know, do you have any maple syrup? And you know, the family is like, why would you want maple syrup? It's spaghetti. And he says, oh, never mind, I think I have some. And he's got maple syrup right up his sleeve, you know, almost like, you know, an alcoholic might have alcohol hidden away somewhere. You know, that's the idea, is you just can't get enough of God's word. You want it just bound right to your body. Now, I think you could apply this by, for example, people wear a cross as jewelry that's meant as a reminder of who Jesus their Savior is. That would be an example of having on your body a continual reminder that makes you think about who God is and what he has done for you in Christ Jesus. So all of these examples are different ways that we can follow the Bible and follow what it is actually teaching here, rather than turning it into a silly game in which we see, you know, hey, that'll be funny if I actually do it exactly literally. Again, you're actually not doing it literally. I don't think A.J. Jacobs, when he was binding money to his hand, was doing so because he couldn't carry his animal to the temple to sacrifice it. That wasn't the reason he was doing it. He was doing it to be funny and have something funny to write about in his book, which means he wasn't actually following the Bible. And that's the whole point here. I think the whole show, Living Biblically, and the book are based on this idea that the Bible has lots of silly rules and laws. No one can follow them all. In fact, I read that page yesterday. A.J. Jacobs says that his starting assumption is everybody picks and chooses what they want to believe in the Bible. And so I'm going to just kind of press home that point that nobody actually does it all by doing this silly experiment. Well, Jesus Christ said that if you're his disciple, if you're his follower, your mission is to teach, make disciples of all nations and teach them to obey everything he has commanded, which is everything in the Bible. We can't be pick and choose Christians. We do have to live biblically. We have to follow everything written in the Bible. Now, we don't follow it the way that living biblically is portraying. We want to follow the commands that are actually given to us and the way they're actually taught to us, not this other view. I think one of the reasons that this has become such a popular view, it has been the whole same-sex marriage debate. It has really changed the way people view the Bible, because in that debate, we know there are clearly scriptures that say that same-sex marriage is not something God approves. That's just in clear black and white. I don't think there's any way to deny it with a straight face. I know some people have tried, but they all crack at some point and say, really, I don't believe in the biblical authority. When you read the arguments carefully, everyone that makes that argument at some point rejects biblical authority, but they'll say, everyone picks and chooses what they're going to believe. So why should we choose to follow that command? Let's not follow that one because there's a bunch of commands we don't follow. Well, that's not actually the right way to read the Bible. The Bible tells us which commands to follow and which commands are given to some other group or not for us. And I'm going to talk more about that tomorrow. Until then, remember, you can trust the Bible.